Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Well, hello and welcome to Young Black and in Business with myself, Annelisa Tuswa. Today's guest is an interesting one for me. It's a conversation I think so far we've been talking to CEO of furniture stores, fashion designers, directors, but today this is somebody that has dedicated his life, and it's a young person, to community development. In studio with me, I'm joined by Lebohang Dikgojane. Did I say it right?
You said it right.
The founder of Rethink Africa and community and engagement manager at Tshimolohong.
Yes.
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 Tshimolohong. I think at core, at your both of your roles, is socioeconomics or social development.
100%.
Which is quite progressive, especially for a young person. So I guess my starting point for you is your journey. How did you get here?
Cool. So maybe just a quick background. I am Lebu, as you said. I'm from Free State, Bloemfontein. I studied at the University of the Free State. Fees Must Fall happened, we all know. And I think we're approaching that date now. And then after Fees Must Fall happened, I got deregistered and I had to think about what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I found myself going to sell fruit and veg in the streets. And from that, what happened was I started learning about the industry, the retail space. Yep. I started trying to understand how do I scale this business. And I scaled it, but not to an extent that I wanted. And then I started marketing because I couldn't get into malls.
Yeah.
Because we need to understand as black business people, or young black entrepreneurs, we don't necessarily have the funds to build these businesses.
No.
And it's quite difficult to scale as well.
It's extremely difficult to even rent at a mall, hey, it's even to get space in a mall. But and conversation then, for another day.
You know what I mean? So, and then that's when I found an opportunity in digital.
Yeah.
And that's when I started building an online grocery store. From building an online grocery store, I found myself in Johannesburg. So I literally just took a risk. Jimmy comes to Joburg. I arrived in Johannesburg, yeah. 2017. The business started working and I moved, like I pivoted quite a lot. And I think this is one thing that as young entrepreneurs that we need to learn, right? If the business is not working,
this is not working, you
pivot to something else, but within the same model that I was using, because I was selling to business, to households, and I moved because I looked at the sales. So it's okay for us to have likes on Facebook and all of these things, but
sales matter.
Sales matter, right? They pay the rent, they pay the bills. And I moved to B2B. The business started booming. We started making quite good money. We started hiring people. COVID came and then we had to close. And after closing, we took this as a case study, Smart Essentials as a case study, because it's an e-commerce business. We realized during COVID now, what's happening in the country, a lot of businesses can't operate.
Yeah.
And if they can't operate, it means that there's lag somewhere. They need to digitize.
You need to rethink how you're doing business get the stuff to the customer.
100%. That's when Rethink Africa came about, right? And Rethink Africa was basically helping businesses automate, these small businesses automate to e-commerce.
Okay.
Because now, Smart Essentials was an e-commerce store. We have a case study.
And you had a case study you've done. You tried it and tested. Now 100%. You're helping others. Yeah.
Now we wrote a book and we turned it into a curriculum and we started training people and getting them online and businesses. And I think as e-commerce started getting more attention and people started gravitating towards e-commerce, we started making quite a lot of money as well as an e-commerce institution, as an e-commerce agency. But now we also changed because pivot is quite important, as I say. There comes a time where it went down because now the big guys are in.
Yeah, everybody's catching up.
The taker lots are in. Everyone is in the space.
Yeah.
Now what we did now, that's when we started looking at the NPO space. That's how we found where we find ourselves now. So in the NPO space, I think it was just through a client asking us, look, we need to capacitate entrepreneurs in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, we have a contract now in the Eastern Cape with a wind farm where we are in Maldino helping these businesses to grow. But that's when we also saw an opportunity to say we need to build a framework for NPOs and NGOs to exist, because the problems there is that most of them are not necessarily compliant. Their governance structures are in a bad space. And it just shows how NPOs play a serious role in the communities, especially in a place like Eastern Cape.
I want to follow up on that, actually.
Sure.
Because I think a lot of people don't even understand what an NPO does.
Sure.
Maybe let's unpack what the role of NPOs is in society.
Sure.
And I guess we'll talk about the challenges, because you're on the ground with the NPOs.
Sure.
We can unpack then the challenges that NPOs find themselves in.
Sure.
But I mean, yeah.
Sure. So I think by definition, it already tells us what an NPO should do. It's a non-governmental organization. Right, and a non-profit organization. So it has to play a part where government can't. It plays that part in communities and tackling social issues that are faced by the communities. So this is an NGO. These are people that are taking, that are raising their hands and saying, Tumamina. These are the real Tumaminas, yeah. Right? And I'm not trying to be political.
No, you're not.
So, but I think these are the people that are saying, we can basically take care, or we can basically play a role in leading this type of issues in our community.
So basically, where government cannot reach, we will go there.
We will go there.
Yeah.
And we need assistance from government.
Yep.
Right? And yeah, basically, that is the role of these NGOs and NPOs. Theirs is to basically play a part where government can't reach, and they assist government with the work that they are doing on the ground.
But you're on the ground now, right?
Sure.
Rethink Africa is on the ground with these NPOs. What are some of the challenges that you are identifying across the board? Because, I mean, NPOs are different. But like just across, maybe we could have the whole day in this conversation,
sure.
But let's say top five that you sure. can identify.
So it's quite sad. Number one, it's quite sad. And it's quite, you start to realize the real issues that this country is going through, right? So the NGOs that we find is that most of the problems that you find, most of them are not compliant. So if they are not compliant, it means that they can't necessarily get funding.
Mm.
So it means that the work that they are supposed to do can't happen.
Yeah.
Some of them have governance issues. They appoint boards that are not necessarily involved in the NGOs. So you start to realize that whatever is happening up there in government, it's basically a reflection of our societies. So we see it in these NGOs, right? So it's governance, it's NGOs, it's purpose, why they exist. Some of them don't understand.
They're not clear,
right? And that's the work that we are supposed to do to refine that work, because ours is to basically capacitate these NGOs. But now you start to also realize that and especially in a place like the Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape is one of the highest in poverty.
I know, I'm from there.
Right? So you start to realize that a lot of NGOs exist because they are playing a role of employment and not necessarily playing a role of trying to change the situation in the Eastern Cape. So people see this as an opportunity to find how they can make money out of it,
mm-mm.
but not necessarily drive the change that these NGOs should be doing.
Mm.
So now we are dealing with structural and systematic issues around how NGOs should exist and why they exist. So the stuff that we see on the news about the lottery, where the money is going on NGOs. So I'm not surprised, because this is what's happening on the ground.
It gets complicated, because I mean, part of Rethink Africa is introducing NPOs to donors, right?
Sure.
But if you've got these structural issues, mm-hmm. how does a donor then get to the NPO?
Exactly.
Maybe you can then unpack for us on your role as Rethink Africa.
Sure.
I'm a donor. I've
sure.
got the money.
Sure.
I want to help an NPO. I sure. want to inject some money. But how do I do that if there's these issues? Where does Rethink Africa get involved in all of this?
Sure. So So Rethink Africa, I think we have always been very passionate about how technology allows us to change things, yeah, or basically accelerate the development of societies, right? So what we've done is Rethink Africa, we've developed a program. So we get into a community, we find out what are the problems. So through an assessment that we run, and we develop a curriculum that allows us to capacitate these NGOs.
Right.
So through that, so basically we are solving one, their compliancy and all governance issues, we can solve it through a training that we provide.
Okay.
Secondly, what we have done is that we've developed a platform. So now this platform lists all these NGOs so that they can be attractive enough to donors, and we can help them even market some of their work to these donors, and especially from a cause perspective, because all these NGOs stand for a cause, right? There's a disability cause.
There's a reason why it's an, yeah.
So we help them also market that and also speak more about that. So we help them reimagine their purpose differently. So we really help them rethink how they run their things. So we've developed a platform. So on this platform, they become part of our database,
yeah,
and then we help them where NGOs are looking, or when donors are looking for these type of NGOs, they can basically find them there. If an NGO or if a donor is interested in fighting the cure of AIDS, for instance,
yeah,
they can just find an NGO that is compliant and find them on our platform. So we verify them, and we also make sure that they are always compliant.
I was going to ask that, on how do you make sure that the NGOs or the NPOs that exist on your platform are quite credible? I mean, we've seen it with the Lotto.
Yeah, sure.
There are NPOs that don't even exist that apparently got money.
Sure.
But I guess you've partially answered my question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it's through the assessments that we run.
Yeah.
Because the assessment will tell us quite a lot, right? And you know, we found a case in another NGO where we realized that the board members are not necessarily part of this NGO, and it was through the assessment, because the people that are representing the NGO and the people that are in charge are not the same people.
Yeah.
And that's where we start realizing that there is a lot of problems in this NGO, and that's the support that we intervene, or we also bring. And what's interesting is that the Department of Social Development in the Eastern Cape has invited us to also help them,
yeah,
try to create like a framework where they can work around these NGOs as well. So I think the work that we are doing is quite valuable, and we see it through the NGOs as well, and we see it through different stakeholders as well that we are engaging within the space. So to answer you, our verification process is really through assessments and us engaging what is really happening in the NGOs. Yeah. So I think you need to be on the ground for this work and not in the office in, yeah, Johannesburg. You need to be in the Eastern Cape.
This is really, truly, I think it's a work of the heart.
Sure,
I don't think this,
sure,
is work that anybody could just get into and do, sure, it, because it requires you to be on the ground. Look, you wear many hats, right?
Yeah.
And one of your hats is actually at Tsimulogong.
Yeah.
Did I say it correctly?
Yeah, Tsimulogong. Yeah. And you are a Vetsi, right?
I am a Sotho girl starting from today.
Sure.
But like, you also do work at Tsimulogong, right?
Sure.
Which, how do you balance tech and NPO? And do you think there's an overlap in the two?
Sure. Yeah, I think there is an overlap, right? So I'm looking at it from, I think I'm more passionate about developmental, yeah, work, right? And developmental work cuts across. And I'm looking at the state where South Africa is at now.
Yeah.
I don't think we assume that we are developed, but the people are not necessarily as, no, developed as we can imagine. So I think ours is to basically see how we can create frameworks that allow these entrepreneurs, whether it's entrepreneurs or whether it's NGOs, to be able to be sustainable, right? How do we create those models? So the work that I'm doing at Tsimulogong, so Tsimulogong is an institution owned by Wits University. It's an incubation hub for tech entrepreneurs, yeah, right? And the work that I'm doing with Rethink Africa and the work that I'm doing at Tsimulogong, it really integrates within itself, right? So the tech being at the heart of things allows us to basically get information quicker. It allows us to assess things quicker,
yeah,
and it allows us to create frameworks. So it helps us automate what we are supposed to do quicker. Yeah. I mean, like, we are two guys at Rethink Africa when we are doing all this work.
Sure.
Right?
I actually thought you had a bigger team.
No, we are just two guys. And we have, like, agents, right? AI agents that allow us to do the work.
Oh, nice.
So we've built them, and they allow us to give us accurate information about these, and we come up with frameworks that can help these entrepreneurs or these NGOs to perform better.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. So, yeah, like I said, I think it's one thing, developmental work, whether it's entrepreneurial and whether it's NGOs, you just look at what the beneficiaries are looking for.
Yep.
And then you can create models or you can create frameworks that speak to different types of institutions that you would need to work with.
I mean, I just thought about it now, but do you have a case study of, we don't have to name the NGO,
sure.
NGO and NPO because it's privacy. I respect people's privacy. Sure. But do you have a case study where this was the state of the NPO that you found and this is where it is today?
Yeah, sure. So we started this project earlier this year. Yeah. We've been doing the work for the past 6 months. So I've been traveling. So I'm traveling to Eastern Cape tomorrow again.
Ah, got you. Right. Perfect, my timing.
So what's interesting is that when we found these people, so there's a lot of companies that run trainings in this country and it has become a quick way to make money. Right? But people are being trained, overly trained, but they're also not necessarily funded, or they can't even be able to see where the impact is. So what we do is that at Rethink, and I'm not trying to position our work to be the best.
I mean,
but I think what we do, I think we do the work, right? So what we have done, there's an NGO that we're working with. It works with disabled people. So they did not necessarily have a constitution to start with. And NGOs are supposed to have constitution for them to be compliant and to raise money. They did not necessarily have a shelter where they work, and they work with disabled people. So we've managed to help them refine their constitution. They've raised money. Now,
nice.
They've raised money. They are building a project called Windows of Hope, where we've managed to help them raise money as well to refurbish the place and add new windows of hope, because that was the project. And I think for me, that was the most touching thing, because you are working with real people and these are people that look like you. And if we trace back in our families as well, probably two generations or two families away are probably in the same situation. Yeah. But being able to see how we've changed these people's lives through the work that we do, I think it's the most satisfying thing ever.
I think that's quite beautiful. And somebody is watching us right now and thinking to themselves, you know what, there's this passion or there's this cause that's very close to my heart. Sure. I'd like to start my own NPO or NGO. Where do they start, and what makes a successful NPO or NGO?
Sure. I think to start an NGO, it's not that difficult, registering and doing that. But I think understanding what cause are you fighting is one of the most important things, right? If you are in a community, we always say that, we always use things, motuke motuka bathu, and all of these terms that we use, but I think we need to bring them to life. Because if you are in a community and you know that a GBV is high, is quite high, or there are kids that can't get to school or whatever the case might be, you find your course, and finding your course and saying, this is what we're going to do, and basically creating work around that and packaging it for an ability for it to scale or be sustainable. I think that's where you start. But just find a course, register, and then that's when you start creating the work. I think the work will follow, but you really need to find something that you're passionate about, that you're willing to fight for, especially in your community.
Now, I've set up I found my cause. I've set up what defines a successful NPO?
What defines a successful NPO is knowing that the beneficiaries that you've identified are benefiting from the work that you are doing.
Do what you said you were going to do for
what
the
you
people.
Said, especially as an NGO.
Especially as an NGO. Yeah.
Do exactly what you said you were going to do. If you've identified that our beneficiaries are women and they need sanitary towels, make sure that they have sanitary towels.
Yeah.
That's your task. That's the work that you said. That you lifted your hand, you said, we will do it. Just do it. If you are doing a feeding scheme, just make sure that people are fed. Because I think that's what brings the value and the impact. Then you can measure that, right?
Yeah.
You'll be able to tell us that on a monthly basis, we've fed 200 people. And this is what we said.
Yeah.
We have done that. No one can say anything, right? And that's the story to tell. Those are good stories to tell.
And if we've got the story to tell, then I can be in touch with you.
100%.
And you can help me get more funding for my
course. Funding, 100%.
Okay.
100%.
That's fair. Just two things before we close. I think the first one is, I've got this idea. I need you to support me. How do I get in touch with you?
So you can, I don't know, should I give my WhatsApp? But you can just email, right? You can just email us, right? You can just email us, right? Yeah, you can just email me at lebu@rethinkafrica.co.za. Yeah.
And what do I say? Like, just take me through. Like, right now, I'm trying to sell, to give my people ways to get a hold of you.
All right, cool. Hi, Lebu. We are based in this place.
Yeah.
This is, we were listening to your thing or whatever, but just tell me, hi, Lebu. This is what I'm busy with. Can you please help us with this? And then we'll get back to you.
Now, I usually, thank you for that. I will also do you guys a favor, is on the caption, I have added Lebu's contact details, websites, emails. So that was just to try to get a little bit to talk to you guys. Just in closing, I always ask my guests this. What life advice would you give to a young person, whether they're in business? Doesn't have to be business related.
Yeah.
It's just some wisdom. Drop some wisdom for somebody who's watching this. They're going through their finding state. They're trying to find their purpose in life. They are reassessing. They don't know if they want to go the NPO route. They don't know if they want to start a business, but they are looking for their purpose. As somebody that has done there, you've started from just being a graduate being a student that couldn't even finish varsity.
Yeah.
And you're here, and I'd like to think you're one of the successful people that I know.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen overnight, but surely there's some wisdom that you've gained along the journey.
Sure. So I think, and I always look at my life now, where I come from, and I really thank the young guy for not giving up and for starting at a very young age. So I think starting young is quite important, because the years that are going to come in your life, will always be thankful for that ability to say, I'm going to do it regardless of what, right? So I think as people, we want things to come easy, but the world is not really structured like that. And you realize as you grow older, your character is basically shaped by the uncomfortable route that you took. So if you really, really, really want something to happen, I think start where you are. And volunteering is not a bad thing, right? If Annalisa has a podcast and you are interested in a podcast, you know, find time to say,
how
can I help? Can I maybe pack some stuff, you know, so that you get to learn the language? How are people speaking in this industry?
I think
it's important being present where you want to be and finding yourself in those rooms, whether you are paid or not. Just find yourself in that room. Find yourself speaking to people and trying to understand what is the language, you know.
I think you mentioned such a, I don't want to jinx your words, but I think you mentioned such an important thing, which is something that I always talk to my mentees about, which is we all started somewhere.
Sure.
We all started somewhere, and whether it's business, whether it's work of the heart, whether it's passion projects, you have to start somewhere.
Sure.
And you have to see people that look like you, people who are where you want to go as well. So if you are interested in the NPO work, shoot your shot. Say, Kulebo, can I hang out with you?
Sure.
I just want to know what your day looks like.
Sure.
Can I carry your bag?
Sure.
I get your hands dirty.
Sure.
Get in there. Get in the conversation, which is something that we are taking away from this conversation, that it doesn't happen overnight. You've got to start somewhere. And like Lebu said, is you've got to build and grow and just, you don't start here. You don't start big.
Yeah.
You start from the bottom and you build your way up, and you have to be open to the idea of refining the idea.
Sure.
And that goes even with business, eh? Not just in the NPO space. Like, 100%. I think in business in general.
Yeah.
Refine, you're going to fall, but like be open to the idea of shifting and changing. I am going to wrap up. Do you want to add anything before I close off?
Yeah, I think, look, we are young people.
Yeah.
and the country is in trouble. So I think we need all hands on deck.
Yeah.
I think we're at the time in our lives where we really need to do something about where we are now.
Yeah.
So no one's going to save us. I think that's one thing that
is a scary thing, but
no one's going to save us. But so we need to really start getting our act together.
Yo, this was such a fruitful conversation. Like sure. Look, I can't thank you enough for joining me.
Sure.
But more than anything, I wish you all the best on your journey. I think the work that you do, like I said, it's work of the art.
Sure.
It's work of the heart. It's something that a lot of people don't want to do.
Sure.
And it's unfortunate. Sure. It's unfortunate, but I also don't hold people accountable for decisions that they don't want to. Like, it's your decision to do 100%. This, and it's my decision to do work that is going to be rewarding me one way or the other. You sure. get your rewards.
Sure.
And I mean, I guess your reward in this work would be you get to change lives
100%.
And see people's causes actually making bigger impact. So
100%.
You change one institution and that institution goes out and make a bigger or larger impact.
Sure.
Lebo, thank you so sure. much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Ash.
Look, guys, I'm not going to add more on this one, but I think more than anything, if there's anything you need to learn from today's episode, is find your passion, find your purpose. And once you do, don't be scared to refine it as you go. Most of us, and I'm using the word us as young people, we are all trying to find the answers, trying to see where we fit into the world. And once you find your place, I think it's easier to navigate. Until next time, please do like, subscribe, share, send this to all your people. If you're watching me on YouTube, please do subscribe. Don't skip my ads. but if you listen to this on the audio, please do share and make sure that you've also subscribed to the audio. Until next time.